Evolutionary.org presents Evolutionary Hardcore Podcast with your co-hosts, Steve from the American Underground and Mobster from the UK Iron Den. Get ready for the most hardcore and underground info in the industry. And here we go. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6...
Evolution.org Hardcore 2.0 episode 60 coming your way. Today we're going to talk about injecting oral steroids. Is it safe? From Europharma. And they have several available that are historically known as oral steroids that they have made injectable based on demand. And some people like to, you know, use the injectables. It's a lot easier for them to just inject than it is to take the orals. They seem to like the injectable. They seem to think the injectable works better for them. So it is an option. And of course, you can always stack any of these with anything else from your pharmacies as well. So of course, we're going to get into that on this podcast. We're going to talk about some different stacks that you can do with these different. We're going to talk about non-anabolic androgenic oral steroids that your pharma also has available, because they have two. You know, one of them is actually a well-known supplement, precursor to hormones, but technically not an anabolic steroid. And another one is a completely non-anabolic steroid. It's a drug that's used for fat burning. So we're going to get into that as well. So we're going to talk about all the different, there's six of them right now that your pharmacies has available in this type of form. So we're going to talk about each. We're going to tell you how to stack them to get the best results. So let's first get into your pharmacies. What separates them from the other sources? So Mobster, touch on that a little bit. I know they're one of your favorite brands.
They are, Steve. I mean, I will, if it bears repeating, because I've said this on multiple shows, it's only because it's true. What number one for me is, they're my go-to. It's a bit like meat and potatoes and whatever else, Steve. That's, you want the basics, the foundations, or whatever else you want to call it in that particular way. So they are my foundation go-to steroid supplier, absolutely, right? And to be perfectly honest, Steve, they've expanded their range into the 15 mil vials. They do have everything you need. I tend to think of them as my go-to in that particular way. They really do have everything you need. There's no different from any other UGO in that particular regards, right? So this, why is that the case for me? Well, number one, I've used their products. And I used this analogy the other day when I said it's a hand-on-heart type situation, that I can talk to the listeners of these shows, put my hand on my chest and say, I've used this, I've used that, I've used that, and I've had great success with my cycles. As Steve knows, just in the last couple of days, squatting 800 pounds, over 800 pounds on the Hatfield squat, and I literally just swapped over from running some Rad 140 because I ran out. There's a bloody rookie mistake. To some Europharmacy Zanavar for the last 4 days, up to the 814 pounds Hatfield squat yesterday. So I can't say that the fucking products don't work, because they absolutely do. Why else do I like them? And look, just this morning on the forums, they were posting up a certificate of analysis. And I've said this multiple times. Number one, I like to see them fucking things. I really do. Right? It's, for me, even when it's a little bit underdosed, a little bit overdosed, you will see them posting up test results they've had back from an independent lab, and they're freely admitting, oh, it's a few milligrams under or whatever else. They're not hiding fuck all. And they are proving to you that the product is as good as it needs to be. For an underground lab, you are getting what you paid for. Absolutely. So that's number one. The other aspect of it, Steve, is I see occasionally, and we talk about some other companies from time to time on other shows, where the certificates of analysis could be more up to date. The one that we're talking about, the one that I saw this morning, Steve, would be a few days, a week, 2 weeks. It won't be months and months and months. And even if these companies are out there still getting products tested, et cetera, et cetera, I want to see up-to-date certificates of analysis. Another example, and it sounds like a small thing, but it's actually kind of important. Right, so we discussed a different brand in a different show recently, and that particular brand was one of two that I'm aware of, Europharmacies being the other, where they have what's called multi-layer labels on their products. So you don't just get, and I've actually seen this, Steve, it looks like stuff that's been printed with a child's printing kit on products. It doesn't mean it's product's rubbish. It just looks amateurish and unprofessional. And when you are spending easily, listeners, and this is no exaggeration, tens of thousands, if not more, hundreds of thousands of dollars on labels just to label your product. And that's quite often with a lot of companies, Steve, a single layer product with a hologram, with a batch number, seeing double layer, seeing triple layer, seeing one example of five layer label means that you are getting lots and lots of information provided to you, stacking suggestions, dosage, how long to run it for, batch numbers, quality control stuff, where you can go onto the site and check with the supplier, check with the original company if this is correct, and so on and so forth. That stuff is expensive. And when a company is doing that just for the labels, it means they're not fucking around on anything else. Because if you're going to spend tens of thousands of dollars on the label, you're 100% going to put time and effort into producing the quality products. And a silly little thing, but it's completely true. They don't just take my word for it. Go onto the forums, see the number, and I'll say this, fans, including myself, of Europharmacies and why they are. Why are they? You get the products, the resellers getting it to you as quick as they possibly can. You've got great customer service. You've got an amazing rep on the forums. This guy's a super hardworking, way more hardworking in that particular regards than I am. Absolutely. How he does that, does his day job, God only knows. And the customer service is a thing where people are able to create tickets and go on if there's an issue with an order and whatever else. And I even used another example the other day where I believe it was January of this year, Steve, 2024. As we record this show, you could be listening to it another time, where they had an issue with a batch of products that was made for them out of house, not in-house, and it came back way underdosed. And they immediately got onto that particular problem, contacted everybody that had this batch because they was able to go for the batch numbers and order numbers and match them up, and gave everybody a credit note for the next product they were all and or supply them with a replacement. They literally were disappointed with themselves that this one had slipped through, and they got onto it within, I think, Steve, 4 days, might have been 5 days, and resolved the problem as quickly as possible, dropped whoever the fuck meant the product for them, and sorted out all the customers he needed to sort out within 4 days. So that's the kind of stuff you want. I mean, give you an example, guys. You go to the supermarket, and there's a problem with a pack of biscuits that's come from an independent supplier, might have metal fragments from a machine. Sometimes you've eaten that motherfucker by the time you see the thing on the door, Steve, in the shop as you go in. Product recall, I've fucking eaten it already. So we know that users are going to be injected these steroids. So you want to absolutely resolve issues straight away. And it's going to, the problem for anything like that, Steve, is it has an impact on the brand, which it shouldn't have. Because this is the kind of customer service, it's the way that you want to be dealt with, it's the way that you want a company like that to act as quickly as possible to resolve issues and so on and so forth. Just the reputation. And here's another thing, guys. I mean, I think they're coming up on 20 years now, Steve. If you go to Europharmacy's actual main website, they're coming up on 20 years, and 20 years in the business is a big deal. It really is. Steve and I are familiar somewhat with the history of the iron game, and specifically of labs, PED suppliers, call it what you like. And we've seen companies come and go. We've seen very big names that had huge reputations come and go, split up, and you don't know who the fuck you're dealing with. Labs raided, people gone to jail, God knows what else. I'm thinking of a particular brand that came out of Thailand and so on and so forth. And to last 20 years in a business like steroids is incredibly good. It's good because you are sending out solid products on a regular basis. You've not scammed passengers. You haven't underdosed products deliberately to make an extra $5 and so on and so forth. And you build this up. And then let me just finish on one more thing. And I touched on this at another show recently. So before Christmas, late 2023, they updated their website. They've expanded into other products, more SARMs, more peptides than they've ever had. And they literally came on to multiple forums, including ours, and was asking customers, us members of the forums, what we wanted to see. Was there information that was missing from the site that we'd like to know about? What we want them to stock? Even the way that the website was designed and so on and so forth. And it was all these kind of things. This is particularly, I'm thinking of a reseller rather than direct, but they reflected the Europharmacy's way of doing business and getting to the point where, you know, that's how you get customers. You're asking us some feedback. You're telling what products would you like us to add to the product line? How can the products be designed? How can a website that advertises those products be designed and so on and so forth? And that working with the Eurofarmers and this reseller, probably the number one reseller of Europharmacies, to expand and just literally, it's like you and I, Steve, if we said, oh, we've heard of this new steroid, will Europharmacies be stocking it? What information do we want to know about it? Is there enough information on the website for it? And so on and so forth. I like that because most of the time you can have companies, and I can think of very, very big brand name, high street brands, whatever you want to call them, that you would see in a supermarket, and they don't do fuck all, Steve. They change nothing. They ask for no feedback. I can think of massive chocolate companies and drink companies that have literally, just late last year, there's a great example of an energy drink company that completely fucked up by not listening to their customers. I think it was a beer one as well. And they lost billions of dollars of market value because they misjudged the market. And this is a huge, great multinational company. You can't do that. And when it comes to performance-enhancing drugs, you have to know what your customers are like. So I like the fact that Europharmacies and the number one reseller are asking their customers. They're saying, what do you want? What do you want to see? Do you want a different dosage of this product? Do you want more information available? And so on. That to me is how a company should be run. And that's how you stay as a market leader when you are 20 years into the game, Steve. What do you think?
I think the most important thing when you're ordering anabolic steroids online is to have that trust in them that you know you're not going to get ripped off. Step one is when you order them, is this source actually going to ship it to me? Because let's be honest, and it's happened to me before, you order online and they just take your money and never send you anything. It's happened to me. It's happened to everybody, you know, out there. And with Europharma, you don't have to worry about that. So we're very lucky today that we have brands like Europharma that you order from and you know that you're going to get what you ordered. And not only that, you know that what you order is what you're going to get. You know, back in the day, when I first started using anabolic steroids, you order these steroids online, you don't know what they're going to send you. You can order Anavar, which is what Mobster is using and hitting personal records on and squatting over 800 pounds. You can order Anavar and they send you Diebol. Happened all the time back in those days. You don't know. They could send you Winstrol. You wouldn't know. Or Tebow. You wouldn't know. And then people start saying, oh, Anavar. Then you can't use Anavar anymore because you can't trust it. How many times does that happen?
Imagine if you was competing, Steve. And again, as you say, if it was meant to be Anavar, which is a lean bulker, and you're competing and you're 4 weeks away from competition and they send you Diebol, you're going to be bloated to fuck because that's not what you wanted. What I mean, let me give you another one example, listeners. We know the kind of typical value of the average amount of money, the average amount of money that's spent by customers when they buy steroids. And what typically happens, it'd be $500, then it's $750. And because you trust the company, I think the average is actually slightly over $1,000. That's about $1,200. And we've seen companies that get talked about on the forums. They're not approved sources. They're not companies we recommend. And the person is out $1,200. Now, I don't know about you listeners, but I've got a vague idea what the average disposable income is for most people with the average salary. $1,200 will pay for your fucking rent in maybe not in New York City, say, maybe not in Las Vegas, but it'll certainly pay for your rent and your mortgage in a bunch of places. It's certainly a few car payments, depending, of course, on the car that you're buying and so on and so forth. But absolutely, $1,200, it's about £1,000, will piss me off something fucking chronic. So you want companies that are trustworthy. And here's the thing, Steve, I've said this before. If someone rips you off for $1,200, they get to rip you off once, unless you're crazy, in which case you deserve it, for fuck's sake, but once. And then they lose your business forever. To stay around as a brand for 20-something years, it's a company that wants your business forever. They want you, as I've said at the beginning for myself, to become your go-to brand, for them to be you to be their go-to customer, because you've built up a relationship. You trust them, as Steve said. This is so important, right? Not everybody can afford to do tests of their own. Not everybody can afford $1,200 and not worry about it. And you are arguably, Steve, invested in your body. You are literally putting steroids, a drug, into your body and working your ass off in a gym, and you want to get the results that should come with your hard work, your rest, and your nutrition, and especially with the PEDs.
And we're not just talking about they send you something else. Like you open it up and it's like, oh, I ordered Anavar. Oh, they sent me Devo. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying sources back in those days, they'd actually send you something labeled Anavar or labeled Primo that was really Deca and that was really Winstrol or T-Ball or D-Ball or whatever. Because number one, they're incompetent. Number two, they don't care. They don't test their own products before they sell them because they're too cheap and they're too lazy and too incompetent to do that. And number three, they just don't care. Again, they don't care about their customers. As Mobster said, they're just looking to make one sale, maybe two sales from you once you figure out what they're doing. And then they'll move on to some other sucker. They're not trying to stay in business. Those are called fly-by-night sources. And what they do is they'll be around 2-3 years trying to make as much money as they can, and then they'll shut down. Same thing as the clubbing industry or the bar industry. You see clubs and bars pop up. They have the first month, everybody's there, and then people get tired of it. People are like, well, you know, this isn't, you know, I'm kind of just bored with this place. The crowd is kind of dwindling. I'm going to move on to somewhere else. And those places go out of business. But hey, they made as much money as they could the first month or two, and then they move on. And that's a cyclical thing. But you're a farmer. They're not cyclical. They've been around, as Mobster said, 20 years.
2 decades and more. Yep.
And the other thing, too, when it comes to this, is that, you know, at the end of the day, you're a farmer. We've tested their products. We've had guys on the forums anonymously and randomly out of their own pocket send off to get these products tested. And we know they're good. And I'm not talking about some stupid lab kit test where you match up colors.
No. Okay?
This isn't third grade here or second grade where we're playing with crayons, you know, and playing with you know, whatever, you know, and markers and stuff where you try to figure out different colors. We're talking about professionally tested at a university lab setting and then gotten the results. And listen, at the end of the day, they're 98-99%. Which is which is the standard for the pharmaceutical industry. So this is pharmacy grade gear at an affordable price. That's another thing too, Mobster, I want to mention, is the affordability of your pharmacy products.
Oh, and definitely, Steve. Yeah.
Back when I first started, the first time I used Primo, I dropped $1,200 on my first Primo cycle, and it wasn't even that much. I think I was running like 500 milligrams a week for 12 weeks. Your pharmacies, you know, you can go on there and check it out depending on, you know, on your currency and stuff. But look, you know, it's going to be less than half of that. That would be a Primo cycle. So they have quality products that are affordable, and that much I can definitely respect.
I'll echo Steve's comments here. I mean, they actually do multi-buys via one of their resellers, and some of their products, one of the ones we're actually going to talk about today, is around right now, again, as this show's going out, around the $40 mark, which is actually super comparable to the kind of prices that we pay here in the UK. Americans, ironically, even as the biggest market, pay slightly more. But you're talking about European prices, Steve. I'm looking on the international part of the reseller site. So that's the prices you would pay in the States. And it's fantastic. It really is. I mean, again, you get to be able to do that, right, for multiple reasons. And again, it's literally because you've built up a huge customer base. It's because you buy the raws in bulk, because you produce this in a lab setting on an industrial scale. In other words, loads all at one time, and so on and so forth. And then, I'm just touching on one more thing, Steve, and I mentioned it earlier in the show. So I know I was talking about the whole asking customers what they want and being innovative should have been included, right? So one of the things that they're doing that I'm not seeing anywhere else, I haven't gone on the internet, listener, and checked every steroid website, so there bound to be someone else that might be doing this. But I'm a huge fan of something they've done in the last, I think, 6-7 months, Steve, which is their 15 mil vials. So it's industry standard for the longest time, and you can still buy these from Europharma, is the 10 mil vial. It's probably the medical standard for any kind of medication, injectable medication, and has been for one reason or another for years. But they recently introduced the 15 mil vials to the market. And these, ironically, as I said, the dose with what people want, again, that's contacting the customers and asking them what they want. What would you be using if we could do a 300? Do you want a 200? The prices for the 15 mil vials are great. In some cases, where it's like for like, it's actually slightly cheaper compared to the 10 mil vial, and so on and so forth. And I literally, as I said earlier on, I like the simple fact that they've gone out there, did something different from most of the other companies that we talk about, and put it out there and expanded. So I'm going to say, Steve, that if, as to quote Borat, that they've had great success in introducing this to the market because it's become popular. I've got some of their 15 mil vials here as we talk about the product today. So for me, yeah, I like the simple fact that they're out there doing stuff that's different, having good success with it, it's popular with the customers, and again, almost certainly based on customer feedback. So they're listening to you, the listeners of this show, asking what you want and giving it to you in an innovative way that no one else that we talk about has done to date. I would not be at all surprised if we start to see more of our approved sources, Steve, bringing 15 mil vials out because they've seen the success that Eurofarma are having. That's great. That makes you an industry leader. That means you're out there in front of everybody else and you've got to market before anybody else. So that's, again, one more thing, Steve, and I actually thought about this when we were talking about the 20-year thing and brands and success and so on and so forth. I could think of just now, and there's probably a couple more, maybe three, maybe. Mercedes, Rolls-Royce, and Ford. Ford's not trying to be Mercedes with the high-end cars, and they're not trying to, although they've got some very nice cars, and they're not trying to be Rolls-Royce. But all three of those customers is, what, 100 fucking years there or thereabouts, Steve, in terms of being into the market? Rolls-Royce is innovative as fuck with the electric Spectre. Mercedes, one of the first companies to produce a car full fucking stop. And to be able to do that for 100 years makes you something fucking special in the industry when we've literally, a couple of electric car companies, been and gone, or others that have struggled enormously just for getting the money and the funds together. When you think of it in those particular terms, I can see, for example, Eurofarma out there another 10, 15, 20, 30 years, and that would make you something special again in this market. Honestly, there must be maybe a handful. I mentioned on another show, one more thing to finish. And I'm thinking of Bill Llewellyn's book about steroids. And I mentioned on another show recently that they were in one of his earlier versions of the book, there were photographs of products, so you could identify the product. This is what the box looked like, this is what the bottle looks like, and so on and so forth. I think the last time I checked, and I've got a copy of the book in my library, Steve, there wasn't a single company in the book that still existed today for PED users to use. Not one. And the book was, I'm going to say, 15 years old. So that's how quick the market can change. That's how fast in, fast out, didn't last, dropped out of favor, what the hell. So again, if you're able to do this for 20 years, you are doing fantastically well. You really are. Most of our approved sources are around the 7, 8, 9, 10-year mark. We've got a couple of that are a bit longer. I think 20 years is out there in front of the others at the minute. So that is a fantastic thing to do. It really, really is, especially when it comes to performance-enhancing drugs, because stuff falls in and out of favour all the time. Products, as Steve will get the slack, they'll give you a great batch, and then the second batch is rubbish, third batch is worse, or they just don't give a shit, and they're just after your money. They have exit scams all the time. We talk about this when we talk about sources all the time. So literally, having a history that is 20 years plus, getting what customers want to market, asking customers what they want, and being innovative is how you get to stay that kind of length of time in a business. Back to you for the next topic, Steve.
So let's get into your pharmacies, what they have to offer in terms of injectable oral versions. But before we do, let's talk a little bit about injectable version of orals, Mobster.
Yes.
And
yes.
We were going to talk about this on the pre-show a little bit, and you had some notes that you took down, and I'm curious to hear what you have to say about that.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing, Steve. It can be kind of confusing. I'm actually going to start off with a little bit of a tangent, and then we'll come back into the meat and potatoes of the conversation. So something that used to happen, and occasionally still does, and I'm not entirely sure why, when companies like Eurofarma are doing the job for you, but I've actually seen posts, when we're doing pre-show research, well, I was trying to think of a couple of steroids that might have been available in injectable versions of orals, okay? So one actually I'd seen someone talking about was Anaval. Now, I couldn't actually find an injectable version, it's anywhere, but what happened was, and this is probably a 1980s, 1990s figure at the time, but that was literally because the product availability wasn't out there. And there was a lot of discussions with the idea. There was two kind of concepts to it. One was the idea that it might be more potent, there might be better uptake. If I used an oral version and turned it into an injectable version, would I become more muscular, stronger, so on and so forth, depending upon the drug? So there was actually articles, I'm thinking again of Muscle Media 2000, where they talked about converting the pellets of Tren, Phenoplex, into injectable version, of course. And there was other steroids that people would experiment with. And there was whole sort of pseudoscience, borderline chemistry lessons. But if you take this product and you grind it down and you mix it with this, and then you put it through a filter, blah, 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 and then you add it to a sterile oil, you can inject it. And of course, people were saying, how did it work? Did the person have great results? And so on and so forth. So that was a little bit of the background. Obviously, better science came, and people that were actually chemists, not just someone that had looked it up on the early versions of the internet and so on and so forth. And so companies started to look at their stuff. Ironically, again, historically, there would have been oral versions and injectable versions of steroids that we don't even know about anymore. I've said on other shows, I think in terms of patents and whatever else, there's roughly 120, I might be wrong, anabolic steroids, never mind the catabolic ones as well. And a lot of these got dropped because better versions, same as other medication, better versions, more successful versions, which were used for medical treatment, came along. And for example, the chemists and the labs and the pharmaceutical companies realized that the injectable version worked better, it was into the system quicker, and so on and so forth. So all of that was out there and whatever else. And then as I say, you had, and we're going to talk about this as well, certain products that did work, do have some success. And there's some, I mean, here's the thing again. So you want a company like Europharmacy to do this for you, because I'm not going to fucking grind pills up with a mortar and pestle and then to have to go out and buy something that the pills would dissolve into and then have to buy filters and all that kind of stuff when a company's already done the hard work. There's definitely an argument to be made if you do it yourself in terms of sterility, because how the fuck are you going to do it? Steve, in your kitchen, in the dining room, you're going to have a lab in your house. You're not going to have something that's set up specifically just to do this. So the sterility is a huge thing. If you're dealing in milligrams, and I'm talking about people don't always understand what this is. A milligram is 1/1000th of a gram. And a gram's actually kind of small amount of powder, as anybody that's seen that stuff weighed up, whatever. So 50 milligrams or 30 milligrams in a mil solution, a mil's 1/5 of a teaspoon, and 30 milligrams is fucking tiny. It's like the tip of a teaspoon. So how hard would it be, or how easy should I say, would it be if you did decide to do this for yourself, to fuck it up, to have 100 milligrams in this pill turn into solution, 50 milligrams in that? Is so difficult. So again, you want a pharmaceutical setting where they're going to be able to do this properly on, again, an industrial scale, and then take out and know that when they pull a mil out, or 2 mil, or 5 mil, or 10 mil, and fill up a vial, it is exactly 50 milligrams a mil. It's exactly 30 milligrams a mil. That's really, really difficult. There's definitely be an argument for some of the products that we're going to talk about to be arguably into the system quicker. And I'm thinking specifically, again, of one product to give you the result that you want if you inject it in the morning and have it into your system 2 hours later when you hit the gym and give you the pump that you wanted. And I'm thinking, again, we'll talk about that particular product in a minute. So that's the reason why people do stuff like that. Is there the biggest argument, and this is part of the topic really for the podcast that we're doing today, is the safety issue. Are oral steroids that have been made into injectable steroids safer? And the bottom line to that is, in terms of sterility, yes. In terms of the milligram per mil, yes. In terms of the actual physical response to your body, I will say no, Steve. Not really. Purely simply because even though if you've taken injectable steroid, and again, I'll just use Debo, you're still going to have the potential side effects of using Debo in the injectable version. It is not safer in that particular regard. It's still going to be methylated. It's still going to have an impact on the body and so on and so forth. And of course, this is more to do with people's personal choice and wanting a particular product in that way. And again, arguably, I'm thinking of dosing per mil, how much you would use. For example, injectable Debo, you're not going to be using 2 or 3 milligrams. Sorry, milliliters. You're not. You're not going to need necessarily to inject it in a particular way. A lot of users, and again, Debo, are using this before the gym because they know it's in your system so quick that when they get to the gym, they have an amazing fucking pump. The Depot pump, the pleasurable Depot pump. Not like the Anavar one, Steve. It's borderline pleasurable because you get such a fantastic pump. And there's an argument in terms of how you feel when you go to the gym. Not necessarily aggressive or whatever, but ready to kick a little bit of ass. So these are the reasons why people do these particular things. But again, all with maybe one exception are the ones that we're talking about today. Oral steroids, injectable forms, still have the arguable impact on the body that they would. But again, we know that these things take place. One of the things that Steve and I talked about in the pre-show is we got a pro on the forums. He's put up his cycle for FIBO to get into shape for the big convention in Germany. And it included an oral version, and I believe he's a Europharmacies man, an oral version of Debo, so that when he gets to the gym, he's a high-volume lifter. I know that as well from seeing what he's talked about with his training. The pumps he's going to have are going to be fucking epic, Steve. And you and I both know he's a vascular motherfucker at the best of times. So God knows what he looks like when he's pumped to the fucking sky, Steve. But again, how many of our listeners are bodybuilders? I'm more of a weightlifter. And absolutely love the pump. So I can see that it's definitely a market there for people that want that crazy workout pump that they're going to get. And in fact, Steve and I are not fans of pre-workouts, but I can actually say, this again, Steve, this is one of my silly things. I've actually got injectable Debo here in my little PED stash. Haven't used it yet, but I can definitely see that there'll be buddies out there of mine or whoever would go absolutely fucking crazy with this shit, give it a go, put carb up like a motherfucker and then go out there and hit it. So yeah, I wanted to touch upon that specific safety issue before we go into the actual products and stuff. What do you think about the idea of using oral steroids and injectable form yourself?
Yeah. So let me give you some facts, background. So oral steroids, you know, a lot of people, they'll post about oral steroids on the forum and they'll say, look, I have stomach upset. I get heartburn using them. I just feel off using them. So you got to remember when it comes to oral steroids, when you take an oral steroid, you're not just taking the actual steroid itself. Just like any drug, I mean, you could go to the drugstore and just look at any of these over-the-counter oral drugs that they sell and look at the ingredients. They have fillers that they have to put in there to bind the oral. And look, you know, Mobster and I, we're not experts on making orals because we don't make orals. That's not our job. We're doing this podcast. But here's the thing. If you think about it, if you've ever made a hamburger, for example, and you take the beef and you have got to smush the beef. You just put the beef onto the barbecue, it's going to fall through the barbecue, right? It's going to fall through the client. You have to kind of smush it, maybe add some salt and pepper, really helps bind it. Maybe add some coconut oil so it doesn't stick to it. So the same thing with these orals. They have to add things to these orals. And some of the common things that they do when it comes to any oral drug and oral steroids, they add things like cellulose, they add different types of sugar substances,
powders, colorants.
Let me kind of give you a list, Mobster. Lactose, sucrose, maltodextrin, other type of sugar products, and then starch and salt.
Yeah.
So are things that you use. So any of these things that can be added there, especially these sugary things and these artificial things that they may add to these orals can upset your stomach a little bit and give you a little bit of an upset tummy, and it can throw things off in your body that you're not expecting. So sometimes, you know, in that situation, some of you out there may be better served, especially if you like to take something pre-workout.
Yes.
You're better served not putting sugar and salt and starch and cellulose and all this other shit into your body before you go work out. And it makes that much of a difference, that little bit of a difference, you know, in your workout. So it might be in your best interest to inject it if it's available. So that's why some people like prefer to inject. And like, let's say you go like do cardio or something. You don't want anything in your stomach when you're going to do cardio, because your body's under a lot of stress. Your body's first instinct is to get rid of it. Or if it's a heavy squat day, your body's first in. That's why you shouldn't eat a big meal right before a workout, because your body's first instinct is, I need to get rid of this. I'm under a lot of stress. Your body doesn't want to have to process that. Well, it's the same thing with an oral. So if you're a person who's noticed in the past, wow, when I take orals, Steve has a point here. I go to the gym. I like to take them pre-workout, give me a little bump. So then I get to the gym and I'm working out, I'm doing squats. My stomach feels a little off, you know, something is going on. that might be why. It's something in the filler that's kind of irritating your stomach just a little bit. But then when you do your workout, now it really comes to the forefront. So using an injectable pre-workout instead would be a great way to make sure there's nothing in your stomach. And especially when you're doing like intense cardio. When you're doing intense cardio, you definitely don't want to put anything in your stomach beforehand, even a lot of water. You know, some like what you see with runners or triathletes and some, they'll sip and spit water before a race. They'll kind of swirl it around their mouth and spit it, because if they swallow water, it's still something in your stomach. And if you don't believe me, drink a bunch of water, drink like 3 cups of water, and then go do a 1 mile sprint, and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. It's not going to end well for you. So, I mean, you definitely don't want anything in your stomach. So that those are kind of the advantages, the way I look at it, Mobster.
Let
With
me give
using
you one more, Steve. I just thought of one more as you was talking there. So a professional bodybuilder definitely doesn't want their stomach bloated and bulging out. They definitely want the ability for to quick in, quick out for their bodies. They definitely want to be using products that have a very short half-life in terms of adaptability to towards the end of their training protocols and their steroid protocols for competition. And in fact, arguably, because we've talked about pro cycles and we've seen what professional bodybuilders, including Open Mr. Olympia athletes, do, is the long esters at the beginning and the shorter, quicker in, quicker out drugs at the end. But let's get on to the actual products that they were doing in those, Steve.
So let's definitely talk about them. We could talk about this subject for an hour, but we really need to get to the actual injectable oral steroids that Eurapharma has. So the first one they have is Anadrol, 50 milligrams a milliliter. So 1 cc is 50 milligrams. Now, the typical dosage of Anadrol is 50 milligrams a day, but some people will run 25 milligrams, a really good result. Anadrol is one of those steroids that, really, the way it's structured, the way it's designed, it does a lot of things. It's a DHT derivative. It's androgenic, okay? It's really, really anabolic, has all anabolic effects in the body in terms of strength and muscle gains and all kinds of things. It can harden your muscles up as well because it is a DHT derivative. And look, at the bottom line with Anadrol, I'm always recommending people, you know, use it solo. Use it solo, especially if you're first time using it. And you can run it 4 or 5 weeks, 50 milligrams a day. So in this case, you'd inject it once a day, or you could do twice a day injections. It's up to you. But really, once a day is fine. And just do 1 cc a day. And look, if you can't gain on Anadrol, and something's really wrong, because Anadrol is an absolutely beast of a steroid. And really, at the end of the day, if you want to stack it, you can. But I'm not really a big fan of stacking Anadrol. I think Anadrol is one of those steroids that are out there. Really, the way it was designed and structured, it doesn't need to be ran at a high dosage. And I mean, not with something else. It does everything on its own. It's literally, the way I look at Anadrol, it's like 4 or 5 steroids all in one already. So you really, when you're running Anadrol, you're already stacking 4 or 5 steroids in the first place. So really, there's no need to stack any of those. But it's a great one if you just want to mass bulk and get strong in a next 4 or 5 weeks. You say, I have 4 or 5 weeks, I want to get massive, I want to get stronger in the next 4 or 5 weeks. The hell with my cardio. I don't care about my cardio. The hell with you know, my blood pressure. I'm willing to take the chance. Of course, you want to run support supplements with these injectables, because these injectable orals also are liver toxic. And that should have been something we talked about in the last segment. They're still liver toxic,
I
even though you
touched upon
injectable.
it, Steve, when I said about the potential for side effects, for sure. On
So that's the only
Anadrol,
thing I would stack, though. That's my point. The only thing I would stack with Anadrol is a good liver support supplement, but I wouldn't stack anything else with it. It should be good on its own.
On Anadrol, ironically, as Steve said quite correctly, the recommended dose, what seems to work for 90%, 95% of a listener, Steve, would be the 50 milligrams, and I would normally recommend it. Ironically, it's one of the few steroids where the medical use is actually up to 100 milligrams. I think it's 1 milligram per kilogram of body weight. So it's a 220-pound, 100-kilo athlete could ironically go as high as the medicated use version of 100 milligrams, but 50 milligrams definitely works for most people. I've also said, and I'll touch upon this again, Steve, in previous shows, I have heard of some people, and I suspect these are people that are new to PEDs, gaining as much as 20 fucking pounds on an Anadrol cycle. that would be absolutely crazy, Steve, especially at my level now. I can't imagine gaining 20 pounds on a cycle. But if you're new to PEDs, your response tends to be there a little bit better. There's a whole thing to do with receptors. I might not necessarily recommend this if you was it's your very first cycle, but I have heard of people when it has been their first cycle gaining as much as 20 pounds. So that's absolutely crazy. The next one, Steve, is probably, we actually realized, we thought this was going to be the number one oral steroid, and ironically, Anavar is, but it's definitely up there and has been for decades. It's probably the foundational anabolic steroid. I mean, there was other stuff way back out in the day, Steve, but this is the one that seemed to grab the athletes and later on the public's imagination, and that would be Dianabol. They do a Dianabol or D-Bol 50, which is 50 milligrams a milliliter in a 7 mil vial. Look, I said, and I've touched on this again, Steve, that I know for a fact, I've seen it in ProStax, I mentioned our own Pet Pro, I've seen it mentioned elsewhere, not just on our forums, where people are taking injectable version of D-Bol pre-workout. So if I was going to do this, Steve, I'd probably have it around the same time as I'd have my breakfast. So about 2 hours before I hit the gym. And while it definitely could form the part of a stack, and I'll let Steve come up with a couple of suggestions, for me, you'd probably be running a stack already, and you'll be using this for the pump on workout days. So for example, Steve, I train 4 days of the seven. And if I was in that particular mindset, if this is what I was after, I could see me only using it on workout days, so 4 times a week, especially, listeners, if you're doing a high volume, typical bodybuilding, 2 to 3 exercises, 8 to 12 rep sets, that kind of thing, and maybe a pump set at the end just for the fucking sheer absolute fucking craziness. D-Bol pumps are out there. So again, this is probably the number one oral steroid as an injectable for that pump, almost certainly, again, workout days only. What do you think about that, Steve? And have you got any stacking suggestions?
So Dianabol, it's a number one used oral anabolic steroid ever. And there's really a couple reasons for that. Number one, it's cheap as fuck. It's been available for a long time, since before the golden age.
And 70 years now, I think.
And the number two reason is it's dummy proof. So really anyone can just take it and gain. Even if you don't know how to eat, even if you don't know how to train, you can take it and just gain weight. You know, just going to the gym and just playing around, you know, like you don't know what you're doing. And so if you do know what you're doing, you get really good results on it. So Dianabol was the first oral that I ran, and I ran it in oral form. Back then, there wasn't injectable forms of D-Bol going around.
Me too, yeah.
Yeah, so obviously, you know, Mobster and I have used the D-Bol many times. And look, at the end of the day, with D-Bol, you're probably going to want to run an aromatase inhibitor with it. So your pharma does have Aromasin and Arimidex that are available with them, and you're going to be able to stack it. But if you were to run D-Bol at a low dose, maybe 10, 20 milligrams a day, you might not want to use an AI because that kind of gets in the way. But some of you are very estrogen sensitive, and if you are, then Dianabol is probably not the one to use because it does aromatize into estrogen extremely rapidly, extremely rapidly. So you can end up, if you run 50 milligrams a day, a week later, a week and a half later, you can end up with gyno, or you can end up with major water retention or major blood pressure issues. So you definitely want to use your support supplements with Dianabol, and you definitely want to use an AI with Dianabol, or at least have an AI on hand. So your pharmacies has you covered on the AI. Now, in terms of stacking, I wouldn't stack anything that aromatizes with Dianabol because that's going to be a lot of water. Unless you don't care, unless you just want to gain a lot of water, like testosterone. If you stacked a bunch of testosterone with a bunch of D-Bol, you would be a watery mess. Now, some of you want that. You know, you want to just gain, you want to move the scale, you want to gain a lot, you want to gain a lot of strength, and that's fine, but it's going to be a watery mess. So with Dianabol, you could stack something that doesn't aromatize with it. Like back in the 70s, what did they like to use with Dianabol, Mops, or Primo? And Arnold, he would use a bunch of Primo, and then he'd throw in some Dianabol here and there. Now, this was before they had access to AIs. So for this, for that, it worked because the Dianabol kind of gave the cycle a kick. So that's a good idea to run something that doesn't aromatize with Dianabol, and that would make sense for synergy.
Yeah, the next one, listeners, is Etibo, or Turanabol, of course. Etibo 50, which is 50 milligrams a milliliter. Steve and I have done whole shows on Turanabol, and I'm thinking, Steve, and I want to be careful when I say this, whether it is quick in, quick out as an injectable. So I'm not 100% sure. So I'm not going to sort of rubber stamp that when I say to listeners, make sure you do your research in this regards. And the reason why I'm thinking that is because of the reasons why Turanabol was invented in the first place. And we've expanded on this in shows when we talked about the athletics, specifically the Olympic level athletes. And it was a state-produced steroid, one of maybe I think two ever, certainly the one first one I can think springs to mind, and was created because they were, as Steve said, and when we talked about how bloated you can get if you're not using an AI with Debo, for example, it's because the athletes then were a bloated fucking mess, and people were discussing what sex thing was. That's how bad it got with the products that were being given to certain Eastern European, German, East Germany and Russian athletes, and to some lesser degree, other athletes from other countries. It was a fucking mess, Steve. So the East Germans specifically created this to maintain a level of athletic ability and to reduce the bloat that some of these athletes were getting on the other drugs that they were on. I don't think they was using anything to sort of knock that bloat back, Steve, because they didn't give a fuck and they just wanted their athletes to win gold medals. And something I've also said about Turanabol was the simple fact that it's probably the most highly rated by gurus. So I'm thinking, and again, I might be wrong on this, and I want to make sure that the listeners are aware that I might be wrong on this, that the injectable version might be quicker into the system, but also might be quicker out of the system. I'm only saying that because I'm thinking the way that certain athletes are tested, and we've touched on this in other shows, is the idea that you want a product that's quicker into the system, gives you the response you want for the race, for the event that you're doing, javelin, shot put, etc., and then quick out of the system because you're worried about drug tests. So again, don't take it as given. Make sure you do your research in that particular regards. I could be entirely wrong. And of course, testing is that getting better and better and better all the time. Again, for the simple fact that when you're doing certain PEDs and trend springs to mind, your cardio gets shot the shit. And so, for example, I can see this is a stackable version, of course, Steve. Using an injectable version of Tren because of the fantastic recomposition in strength enhancement and so on and so forth, probably around the 200 to 300 milligrams a week. And then using Tebow just to get back some of that cardiovascular ability that you've lost. So that might be another reason. And again, like we were talking about with the Debo, and I'm saying about training days only because of the impact on your cardio. And again, specifically for your ability to do high volume work. That might be typify a bodybuilder's type of routine. Maybe T-Bolt is in there for that particular reason, just so you don't get fucking winded on Tren, quite training your ass off and find out you're not able to make it all the way through the workout because you're just so out of condition because of the impact that Tren's having. So I can see T-Bolt in there. What about you, Steve? Any sort of stacking suggestions in that particular regards and thoughts on the product?
Yeah, T-Bol is one of the best. We talked about with Dianabol, water retention. Well, T-Bol doesn't aromatize. So T-Bol is great if you're an athlete. It doesn't cause a lot of side effects, doesn't cause pumps the way these other steroids will. And Anadrol has pumps, D-Bol has pumps. And the next one we're gonna talk about, Winstrol, definitely has pumps. And D-Bol definitely has pumps. Pretty brutal pumps if you're trying to do cardio, especially. But T-Bol, you can do cardio on T-Bol. And I like it. It's very mild. It's very weak. You're not going to have explosive results. It's going to be a very mild effect. So if you run it by itself, you want to run like 30, 40, maybe 50 milligrams a day. But you want to keep in mind you're not going to have explosive results. It's basically leaves a lot to be desired. But some people like that. If you're an athlete, if you do a lot of sports, fishing right now, it's fishing season. So I'm going out on a boat fishing for hours. I'm going surf fishing. I'm having to walk a half a mile carrying all my fishing equipment to get to my spot. Then I'm having to walk out into the ocean, cast my rod, then walk it back, place it in the holder, and have to do the same thing to another rod, and then do the same thing to another rod. It's constant. It's just a lot of cardio. Then at the end of all that, I'm like, my shoulders are on fire from having to do these long casts and bring in these fish. Then I gotta lug all my shit a half a mile down the beach And by the time I get back, I'm sitting here right now. My heels and my feet and my ankles are absolutely killing me. My shoulders are sore. I'm an active person. I like to do that. I like to do kayaking. I like to do swimming. I like to do a lot of stuff. So for me, T-ball would be a good option. D-ball would not. So if you like to do basketball, some of you like to play basketball at your gym after your workout. You go and you play a pickup basketball game. Same thing, tennis or volleyball or anything you want to do. And T-ball is a good option. These other steroids are not. So that would be a reason. So what would you stack T-ball with? It depends. If you're going to run it solo, it's good for an active person and for a mile. But
Yes,
if you
it was to
stack it,
maintain the athletic ability and the activity.
if you want a body build, then definitely T-ball works really good. You can stack it with Eurofarma testosterone. You can stack it with Eurofarma Equipoise, and that'd be really good for cardio too. And if you really want to recomp, you could stack the T-ball with Eurofarma Tren. And Tren is a really harsh steroid. And as Mobster said about, offsetting cardio, you're not going to offset cardio using T-ball with Tren, but
Yeah, not completely, Steve.
no. No, I'd say
Absolutely
just a little
no.
bit.
It
So forget
negates
it.
some of the effects,
Yeah, but
yes.
just with bodybuilding and strength, oh, it's a really good strength. I actually hit PRs doing T-ball and Tren. That's it. I didn't run any testosterone with it. Just T-ball and Tren. I hit PRs. I wasn't even high dosing. So it works really good with a more androgenic compound if you're looking for strength. So there's a lot of different ways to use it. The next one we talk about, Mobster, is Winstrol. It's a very important one to talk about. And Winstrol, like T-ball, does not aromatize into estrogen. And like Anadrol, doesn't aromatize into estrogen, although Anadrol does bind to estrogen receptors. But Winstrol, straight DHT derivative, just like T-ball, but this stuff is a pure cosmetic dryer. And the pumps are insane on Winstrol. Lower back pumps, leg pumps, arm pumps, whatever. You work out the muscle, you're going to get pumps. And Winstrol is really good ahead of a show or ahead of a photo shoot, ahead of the beach. You just want to dry out. So this one, in a stack, let's say you're running a stack for 12 weeks, a lot of people like to finish the last 4 or 5 weeks with Winstrol. So you'll do 50 milligrams a day or 25 milligrams a day to finish out the cycle. This way, you're looking nice and dry going into your contest or going into the beach vacation or going into your photos, et cetera, et cetera. So Winstrol with that one. And look, at the end of the day, if you really want to push the envelope, Winstrol with Tren, it's a brutal stack though. Your head hair, your prostate, your cholesterol, it's going to get messed up. But it's a great, a lot of the guys, bodybuilders, mobster like to use Tren and Winstrol. But it does come with a lot of side effects. But you can get shredded, absolutely diced on that stack. If you're already lean, if you're like less than 10%, you're listening to this, and you want to get diced, you could do Tren and Winstrol. The Europharmacy's Tren and Europharmacy's Winstrol would be fantastic here.
I was thinking, Steve, that is probably thinking about the subject matter for the podcast, et cetera, Winstrol is probably el numero uno. And why do I say that? Well, first off, there's an oral version, pills, right? Secondly, you can actually drink, because that's it still works in an oral way, the oil with the Winstrol that's already put into the oily solution. And lots of people do that. It saves them having the pin and so on and so forth. And then, of course, again, with the oily version, the injectable version, you can inject it. So arguably, it's the one that is an oral product that could be injected, and was designed in that particular way right from the get-go. Or should I say, if not designed from that particular way, certainly be able to be used in that particular way right from the get-go. So it wasn't a traditionally oral steroid that was turned into a injectable version. It was the in. It was probably the other way around, if anything, and it was able to be used orally, even the injectable form. It had exactly the same side effects. It has exactly the same results. The impact on your body is the same, and so on and so forth. So, ironically, it's one of the few that was out there in that particular format. And maybe, of course, that's the reason why people thought that this could potentially be used with other oral steroids and turn into injectable versions. The 50 milligrams a mil here. What about the dosage, Steve? I'm actually thinking probably, again, it would completely depend on what else is in the stack, but I'm probably thinking total 200 milligrams a week might typify a sensible cycle of this. What do you think on that?
Yeah, and I already touched on Winstrol, 25 to 50 milligrams a day. But some guys go higher. Some guys go 75. Some guys go to 100 who are competing. But I've never found any reason to go over 50 because of the side effects. So let's touch on some other non-AAS oral steroids available in injectable form from your pharmacies. And the first one is EP Clen. And Clen, look, the reason you buy this is very simple. Fat loss. And clenbuterol comes in 50 micrograms per milliliter from Europharma. And it would be something you could stack in really any of these cycles we've talked about. Although if you do stack it with something harsh like Tren, it's going to be really, really rough. I don't recommend it. It's going to be really tough on your heart. I'm not a fan of clenbuterol. Some people are. And I'd say probably 10, 20% of people who use Clen, they love it. They get good results on it. But 80 or 90% of you are going to run it. And you're like, this stuff ain't worth it. This stuff isn't worth it. But to this day, Mobster, we've seen the stacks the guys are running. They still use Clen to this day. But it does, there is an attachment to heart issues. So you want to make sure if you have any sort of heart problems, you want to be careful using Clen. And you don't want to abuse it too much. So the maximum I've used Clen is 120 micrograms a day. And you want to slowly move up to that dose, not jump right into that dose. You want to touch on Clen or you want to touch on the last one? You want to touch on any of them, Mobster? We can't.
Sorry, Steve, I had it on mute. The last one is DHEA, and you can buy this in both forms. The Europharmacy's product was 100 milligrams. DHEA, right? So we don't really think of it as a steroid because it isn't. You can still buy supplemental forms in your mom and pop type health shops, et cetera, et cetera. And I actually just said to Steve in a pre-show, while it is in a few stacks, I couldn't tell you the last time I've seen one really mentioned in any form. And I think sometimes, which is what's a bit confusing, that people think of it as a steroid. In reality, it is arguably, and again, I'm not an expert on this by any stretch of the imagination, a precursor to the forms of testosterone that your body produces. Okay, so what happens is that there was some familiarity on my part when the whole pro-hormone thing was doing a thing. And the idea was that if you could take the precursor, i.e. the building blocks, whatever you want to call it, of a product, i.e. a hormone in your body in the form of testosterone, then your body would naturally build more testosterone in the body with the DHEA. Yeah, honestly, Steve, if I'm going to inject it, I want to get the same bloody reason. I'm literally going to inject testosterone. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Why do I then want to inject arguably the building blocks of testosterone? There might still be a form of suppression. Again, neither Steve nor I are really familiar with DHEA because we've moved on from that such a long time ago.
So I'll give you a couple little benefits of DHEA. Now, the supplement form, you can go online like Amazon or any supplement store.
Yeah.
You'll see DHEA. So it's garbage. It's garbage. Yes. Don't buy the supplement form. If you want to use the DHEA and see what it's all about, definitely get this from your pharmacy.
Yes.
And really the two things that DHEA can do is it helps reduce cortisol levels while also increasing IGF-1 levels. And that helps. And let's say you're on TRT. A lot of people will blast some DHEA on their TRT to do. See this from anti-aging clinics. And at the end of the day, it seems to help people in that way. Another way you could use DHEA, let's say you're running a long cycle, 15, 16-week cycle. You could hit some DHEA toward the end of the cycle. And that can help increase IGF sensitivity, insulin growth hormone sensitivity, along with IGF levels. It can help you stabilize your mood. It can help you decrease depression and do other stuff like that. And then some people will use it in PCT itself. So as Mobster said, is it suppressive? Maybe a little bit, but it's better to use DHEA than it is to use ACG because ACG definitely is suppressive.
Yeah. Let me expand on that cause though, just for a second, Steve, before we get into the disclaimer. So something that you'll notice with very high-end athletes, and this is super, super important. You're going to be putting your body under a lot of stress when you work out. There's a lot of stress in life in terms of divorces and paying your bills and kids doing your head in or whatever. And I think of some of those seriously big, seriously strong guys that I've been around. And I'm thinking even of Dorian Yates back in the day, Steve, where their life was so structured that the only stress they had was getting to the gym on time and training their fucking asses off. So the idea that you reduce your stress and specifically the impact of cortical steroids, cortisone, et cetera, in your body which can be obviously a catabolic and not anabolic. There's a place for them, but you don't want to be breaking down hard on muscle. You do not want the stress to have you worry about stuff. So if there's a product out there like DHEA, which is going to have that anti-catabolic effect, reducing cortisol in your body, then there's an argument for it there, Steve, for sure. So that might be why I could see some people using it. And I'm actually thinking, again, I might be wrong on this, that I have seen the occasional stress-relieving type supplement, and I think specifically of a couple of sleep-type supplements where there's been something like this in them because of that particular reason, helping you relax, helping you get chilled out, helping you recover from your workouts, not necessarily building muscle per se, but just relaxing you so you keep the hard-earned muscle that you've spent half the fucking afternoon training your asses off and doing everything else that you need to do in order to get the size of a house. It's super, super important. It's an option for you, listeners. Definitely do your research on that particular one. But again, for me, and I think Steve and I are both the same in this particular regards, we've been training long enough. We're using anabolics. We're using performance-enhancing drugs. It's an option for those of you who want to look at it. But if you're going to be injecting it, I would probably want to go with a form of testosterone over something like DHEA. But again, companies make products that you ask for. It wouldn't be there if it didn't sell. So there's definitely a place for it in some people's stacks, Steve, some people using it. And again, maybe just for their anti-catabolic rather than anabolic effects. Please note, listeners, we are not doctors and opinions are ours. It is our view and based on our experience and views on the topic. A podcast for informational purposes and entertainment only, the freedom of speech and the First Amendment.